Father, we're here to worship you. That's who we are. We were created to worship. We were created, Lord, to know you, to worship you, to give our entire lives to you. Every part of us, God. Every part. That's our call. That's our destiny. That's our purpose. And you fill us with your love. You fill us, you fill us, you fill us, you fill us with your love and your hope. And Father, we thank you that we can't go forward without hope. And only hope comes from you. Because hope deferred makes a heart sick. So Father, we thank you for the hope in this house, the hope in this place, the hope in you. Because you're the only one that makes the narrow path straight. You're the only one that makes the crooked and narrow path straight. You're the only one that breaches the gap. You're the only one who brings everything around full circle. You're our God of healing and restoration and love and hope and graciousness and might. That's who you are, Jesus. So when we shout your name, we shout hope. We shout hope, hope in you, hope in you. Fill us right now with great hope, Lord, to believe you, to receive you, to obey you, to know you in the deepest places, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we don't resist you. We embrace you. We embrace you in fullness. We embrace you with wholehearted declaration of the goodness of you, God. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just adore you, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the week of worship that Ohio is offering up to you this week in Washington, D.C. We thank you, Lord, for that week. May it be a sweet-smelling aroma to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. We have a couple of very short clips from our worship center in Sao Paulo, in City of God. And our team moved in this weekend. It's not decorated, looking pretty or anything like that, but it's doubled in size, so we're really excited about that. And so we want to praise God for that and thank you guys for making that happen, for bringing the funds in so that we could finish that. I don't have any pictures of the outside or the roof or anything like that, but just a few that Inez just sent. So we have a couple still shots. There we go. There was a queue, what she said was a queue of the little kids lining up to be able to play the bass. The cello. So they all wanted to try. That's Amanda. Amanda's going to Mozambique with us in July. Yeah. And she was leading the kids. And this, they have holy clubs that meets there in the afternoon, and they have worship and soaking at another time. And then in between that now, because they've changed their schedule, they have time for the children, and they go back and forth between our place, Pastor Jerseo's place. So that's what this is right here. What's the next picture? Oh, same picture. Same kids. Okay, and there's two little short clips, two little short videos. That's Hobson. That's our new window. That's Joe Kabeji. She'll be in Africa with us too, playing the guitar. Oh, imagine? That's so exciting. So we're trying to fix the walls because the painted walls from last year are they're kind of stuck with plaster and cement, and they're looking kind of strange. So Andy gave Inez some ideas of how they can try to get that off and then clean the surface, so we might be able to salvage some of the paintings, some of the walls that were painted. And then obviously there's other walls there that we have to fix up. But this is a really big deal, and we're going to add a drum set and some other instruments as those funds come in too. So we're very excited about that. So it's a really huge blessing to be able to see that. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Brazil. They've been waiting a long time. We thought it was going to be a simple process. You just take a wall down and we'll move in. And that didn't happen in January. So here we are in April. And this was their first time. We have beautiful floors now, which they didn't show. They have tile on the floors and, of course, a new roof. And, you know, they didn't see the back wall or anything. And a new big window. So it's a real transforming spot. And everyone is very excited about it. So this is all I've got to be able to show you right now. But I'm really happy about that. Yeah. And so also I want to offer to you all a little short video clip that came from Pastor Dewa and Sunitha from Rajahmundry, India. And that was very exciting because last week we showed a video clip from Rajahmundry, India, where Pastor Dewa was speaking about being raised from the dead, and he was dead for an hour 1 year ago, April 15th, and it was pretty exciting to be able to watch that. If you weren't here, we have a podcast where you can get the audio, and you may not be able to see him, but you'll see who he is up here, so you'll be able to hear it. So that'll be really cool. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it from beginning to end, I would really encourage you to do that, as it really sets the tone for what you're going to hear now. So this is just a little follow-up from Pastor Dewa, and he was just telling us how he felt about that happening in his life and how that made such a difference in how he stands right now for the rest of his time here on earth. So let's hear what they say. Can you put the lights down, please?
Hello, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. Hello, Frontline family. How are you all? We are so happy to meet you all once again through this video. Thank you for all your responses after watching our previous video. We are so blessed to share our testimony with you all.
Can we put the volume up a little?
And thank you so much for your prayers and support that our children home has become big now. There used to be 24 children previously, but now there are 34 children. We praise God for this development and increase. We praise God for making this happen, making one children home with four leaders. And we thank God for that. And we thank you for your prayers, support, and everything that you are doing for us and all of us, for the children and everyone here. Thank you so much. Today, we want to share with you how our heart felt after all these situations happened in our lives.
Hello, Frontline family. How are you all? నాకు ఇలా జరిగిన తర్వాత దేవుడు నాకు చూపించిన దర్శనం బట్టి నేను ఇంకా ఎక్కువ భారంతో దేవుని పని చేయాలని అనిపించింది.
After all this happened to my husband, after God gave him new life and the vision that God gave him, what he felt in his heart is he felt more burden for the people in this world, those who are not saved.
ఎందుకంటే దేశంలో చాలా మంది జీవం కోసం మనుషుల వైపు అనేక వాటి వరకు చూస్తూ వ్యర్థమైనటువంటి వాటినే వెతుకుతూ ఉన్నారు. కానీ జీవం ఇచ్చేది ఒకే ఒకరు, అది యేసు ప్రభు మాత్రమే.
Why? Because in the vision, God showed me that all the people in this world are searching for life in different places, in this world only. They are not searching for the real God who can give them life. They are searching for life in the human beings in this world, in different places, in different things. But they are not looking at the real God who can give them eternal life.
ఆయన వైపు చూసినప్పుడు మాత్రమే మనకు జీవం. ఆయన వైపు తిరిగినంతసేపు ఎవరైనా చనిపోయిన వారిని వారితో సమానం, వారికి జీవం లేదు. ఇదే విషయాన్ని అందరికీ చెప్పాలని భారం నేను కలిగి ఉన్నాను.
We will have life only when we look at Jesus. If we don't look at Jesus, we will not have eternal life. Until we don't look at Jesus, we are equal to dead people. Anyone who does not look at Jesus, who does not turn to Jesus, are equal to dead people. Only when a man or a woman turns to Jesus and looks at him, then only she or he will get eternal life. This is the burden that God kept in my heart. And all the remaining of my life, I want to preach this. I want to share this to all the people in this world and tell them that there is only life in Jesus, and everything in this world is dead. Everything in this world is dead. Only when one looks at Jesus can he or she can get life. So this is the burden that God kept in our lives, and we want to go and preach everywhere about this vision and testimony, and we want to draw people to Jesus.
దయచేసి మా కొరకు ప్రార్థన చేయండి. మా ఈ చిన్న పరిచర్య కొరకు మీరందరం మీ కుటుంబ ప్రార్థనలో జ్ఞాపకం చేసుకోండి.
Please pray for us, and please pray for our ministry and the burden in our hearts in your daily prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. Isn't that exciting? So he wasn't able to put that on the first video to be able to let us know how he was feeling about his purpose here on earth and winning souls for Jesus. And that we know that's who he is. So we just asked him to tell us what all that meant once he came back. So what maybe what we can do is print that up, because it's kind of hard to hear. And I guarantee if you listen to it on podcast, it'll be better. For some reason, it just doesn't come through. So if you listen to the first one about being raised from the dead, then, you know, the same thing. So we'll put it on podcast also. So praise God for that. Last night, we had the opportunity, I think 8 or 9 of us, to be able to go out in the church van, and we went through the Stark County Prayer Drive and went on the 65-mile route. It went so fast, I couldn't believe it. It was only 2 hours, but it felt like it just was a very short amount of time. It was really fun. And just really want to encourage all of you to sign up, if you could, and take a slot. There was a kickoff for all of this for Stark County. It's for 7 days. And this kickoff, at that time, I think there were 43% of the slots filled, because they have 80-some slots. And so if you can find that in your schedule somewhere, just find 2 hours. And even if you can go and it's, you know, you can't go at a time that's on there, and it's like, I can do this at these 2 hours, I'm sure that'll be okay. You can double up if need be. But, of course, to encourage them and to try to fill those slots, we'd recommend that if you can do it. But you can pick up one of these in the back. Stark County Prayer Drive, we don't have a ton of them. But if you're interested in that, it gives you the overview of what they're doing and some prayers to lead you. We started out with a few things in here, but just kind of let it rip, because we're used to praying and, you know, taking authority over all kinds of things. And so it was really fun to be able to see God put things together and show us prophetic things. And we just really encourage that. Next Saturday, that marks the end of the prayer drive. It's, like I said, 7 days. So I think it's at 7 o'clock, isn't it, honey? At Living Hope Fellowship, there's a close. 7 o'clock next Saturday night. For those of you who are around, if you want to go, there'll be a closing to this 7-day week, you know, adventure in praying for our community. So it just really gave us a great time to be together. And we went as the Ghana team from our Ghana trip in November, which was really cool. And so we were also praying for things in Ghana, you know, and it was really great to be able to see the connection between, you know, our overseas family and all that's going on here as well. And Rachel was like, who is this person? She's bringing us plantain chips and coconut water and all kinds of fun Maria cookies. And what else did you bring? A chicken in a box. That's right. She's like, if you weren't there, it'd be like, really? What is that? But Rachel brought a box and, you know, put a stuffed chicken with its head poking out because we were in a van one day in one of our many rides, and I didn't know it was under my seat, and this thing was going like this, and like, and I was like, what the? And all of a sudden, it kind of nipped at my heel, and it was like, ah! So, you know, I reacted, so it was just kind of funny. But anyway, it was all the way from the north to the south, and we have many adventures from the past. I see some of you looking at each other like, oh yeah, I remember when we had the, you know, the goat hanging down and other things. So a lot of fun adventures when you're together and there's camaraderie in the spirit when you're, you know, doing the work of the Lord overseas, which is really great. I'm going to ask if Lawrence wants to come up and give just kind of a quick update of where we are. We have been praying diligently for Maria's healing and all that's going on with that. Sin is really a trooper, and all of you have been so supportive. Thank you for meals. Thank you for prayer. And when we had a very intense time last weekend, we had 48 hours of constant barrage of prayer nonstop, people taking slots and doubling up many people. So I don't know how many people ended up doing that, but it was just phenomenal. So God bless you. Thank you so, so much. And then we felt the Lord was saying, just keep it going. This is our assignment right now. Just keep it going. So we have teams. You can sign up and take a spot for a particular day, and then you pray and fast as you're led. And the only thing we would ask that if you do sign up, which would be helpful, that you would contact the people on your group and say, all right, here we are. We can text together. We can talk together. We can know we're on the same team. Whatever you want to do, just connecting so that we have more we have two or more gathered together in my name. We know he's there in our midst. So we're saying, let's get three. Let's do that. So we're starting with three on a particular day. And it can be 30, but at least three. And we had that going from the rest of the week, this past week, and then it's continuing. So God bless you. So Lawrence, if you wanted to just kind of give us a quick update, we just appreciate you. Glad to see you.
Hi.
What's your name?
Well, I don't know what everybody knows. So Maria was discharged from the hospital, came home yesterday afternoon. So she's back home. We've had family members in and out and in and scheduled to go out and scheduled to come in. So we've developed an open door policy at our house. I think at the peak we were at 16 people. One, two, three, four, like six people left this morning really early. And I took them to the airport. And then I went back home and took another round of people to the airport. This is a mission trip. So I was able to share with my Song of Solomon group a little bit on Thursday. For those who don't know everything, Maria was taken not yesterday, but the past Saturday to the hospital in an ambulance. And was taken to an ER, and without sharing too many details, it really didn't look good at all. We called family members in. They flew in that night. Really difficult reports from the doctors. And then you guys stepped in, and very honestly, I did not think we would see her back home again. So the fact that she even came home yesterday was a huge miracle that Cynthia and I recognize has a lot to do with the amount of prayer and support that we've gotten from you guys and others. So we're so grateful for that. The pictures, the words, the encouragements that have been coming in via text have been very accurate and timely. We had another moment where there was a bit of a scare the other night where honestly I thought Maria wasn't even going to be able to come home. And then a few texts came in and said I woke up middle of the night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., just praying. All very accurate and timely. So all the prayer, all the food, we've had a couple extra turns. She has a brother-in-law and a sister that came into town, and her brother-in-law is in the ER now. It was fortunate that it happened to happen while he was at the hospital, but the extra food has been a huge blessing because we were able to feed them as well. He was in the ER, and now he's in a room one floor above where Maria was. So it was real close. That part was nice. We're getting more reports on him on Monday. So we're just saying, please, God, do something. And we're just standing in that place. So we've been really, it's been a roller coaster season, but we've been really encouraged. Really encouraged by everything that everybody here has done and continues to do. So thank you guys so much for everything. And we'll give more updates as we know more. So
that's great. Thank you, Jesus. We're in this together. We're a family. And we're walking with sending Lawrence and the family all the way through this, seeing what God will do. I was going through notes this morning, and I think it was early in the fall, and we were up praying for Maria, and it said, oh, Bill just saw these angels in the room, and I was just reminding myself, oh my gosh, and I think we've said that here, but oh my gosh, yes, we were in there, and it was just this glorious time. And the Lord is showing up. He's drawn to this kind of situation and the powerful prayer and intercession, as Lawrence said, so praise the name of Jesus for that. I think she heard them. Okay, well, it must have been another one then. Because I wrote it down that way anyhow. Or it was a different one. But you were singing and she saw them and heard them. Okay, well, there you go. But either way, it was supernatural. And thank you, Jesus, for that. So we're just contending for the rest of it. And we just really believe the Lord wants to do that in our county. And, you know, it's a little bit further when you think of the church down the street or the, you know, school down the road or whatever, but when it hits up close and personal and it hits home, isn't it something how we'll jump in and do that? And I really believe that God wants us to see it through, not just for our family here, but also for what he wants to do in this county. Many know that this is a bellwether county, and as this county goes, so goes the nation. We believe that. We've heard that. We've seen that politically. So why not spiritually? So we're contending for that. So we have a lot of things coming up in the next month or two or three. Lots of crazy things going on. One of them is a little further out. We're looking at potentially, and Josh had said this in a board meeting, and it was like, oh, I don't know if that'll work, but it was like, that was a really good idea. And seeing if we can combine Brother Yoon coming in with, our relentless pursuit. So typically we have that at the very end of October, but we're looking to move that up at this point for a lot of different reasons. That's one. There's a couple others as well, but all we need is one, right? And move that up to October 6th, which would be Saturday night. So Brother Yoon, who has written Heavenly Man, has such an impressive and incredible testimony it's just hard even to put words into who he is, and it's a Chinese man who suffered so much for the sake of Jesus and knows Jesus so intimately that all he can do is speak of his name, and he just glows with it's the name of Jesus all over him. And he's not looking to his own needs. He's one who really walks out the idea of just living for Jesus, that you created me to worship you and to live for you, and I don't want to do anything less than that. And I don't want to be all in doing everything that you want me to do. So he has suffered and been persecuted tremendously. And I met him in Pemba last summer when I was in Mozambique. And he, you know, I was touched by him in my heart, and he was praying for a lot of people too. It was very life-changing to be with him. And so we said, gosh, maybe you can come out this year. And God just made a way. He and his family and the ministry lives in Frankfurt, Germany. They travel all over the world. But twice a year, they go for a couple of weeks to come to the States. And so, you know, I just really appreciate him. And one thing I found this morning, before we all dismiss the kids here, this is one thing that he said, and I wrote it out, and I just ran into it again. He said, bless me, Lord, so that I can be a blessing to the nations. Use me for the nations, for the gospel. I spent more than 10 years in prison for the gospel. Oh, I want to sing about all the nations. I want to be a vessel of your mercy and love for the nations. People want personal prophetic words from Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson, Randy Clark, because they really don't, they don't really want to be a disciple of Jesus. Nothing wrong with getting a prophetic word. Some of us have gotten really cool words. But he was saying that our connection to Jesus, to rock us, to be able to take the gospel to the nations, is our ultimate call, our ultimate worship, act of worship, to be able to live and lay our lives down for him. If you're a Facebook person, you might have seen a lot of things recently where people are debating what is the true gospel of the kingdom and what's the Western gospel like compared to the rest of the world. And it's like that's been coming up lately. I'm just kind of watching, just trying to get the heartbeat of what's going on in our community. And various people comment and say, you know, when I go overseas, when I go to other nations and I offer the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a whole lot different than what I see here and what seems to be understood in the West in many ways. And maybe there's some truth to that. So we believe, you know, in this house that the gospel of the nation is very strong in terms of living completely for Jesus, body, soul, and spirit in every way, and to be able to offer ourselves, our mind, our will, our emotions, our possessions, our families, our businesses, everything to the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him first. And then I wanted to leave you with this. This is from Bill Johnson, who was also in Pemba this past summer when I was there. He said, in the realms of God, he must test us to see what we can hold up under. God is a father. He is a good father, and he's a good steward of his workmanship. He doesn't want to extinguish a dimly burning wick. He doesn't want to ruin old wineskins. He wants to make sure what he's about to release doesn't destroy us. So he wants new wineskins. So we have to learn how to navigate through loss, through betrayal, through criticism, through disappointment. God has to trust us in disappointment so he can trust us in gain. So if I can't trust him when I'm criticized or disappointed, I'll never trust him when I'm applauded. When glory is released over unsanctified life, glory can and will crush it, destroy it. God wants the glory to establish the life. So he's after us in this season. He's after us in really strong ways and wants us to be able to run the race with him and to willingly want to be changed in this season in a way that will help usher in the glory and then will be very effective as he does do what he wants to do in this nation. I received some text last night that Andy gave an amazing message at the Edge. So thank you, Andy. And some people were really stirred by whatever you did, whatever you said. But he just brought in a realm of obedience into his message based on Philippians 3:10. That's all I know right now. That was talking about just laying our lives down so that we will learn that if we really love Jesus, then we will obey him. If we really love him, we will obey him in all things. And it's a measure of our love. And we need a download of love from heaven to be able to walk all this crazy stuff out that God's giving us the opportunity to do. Is there anybody here that, I don't want to say share what you saw this past week in prayer, because you've got, if you have said you want to be involved in the prayer for Maria and such, Rachel's done a really good job to try to, you know, get information out. But if you'd like to be part of that, just see Rachel so she can send you updates. And we're sending some of those updates overseas. Like Inez and others are reading this going, wow, my gosh, look what Jesus is doing. And he's transforming us in the process of bringing Maria to this place of freedom. So we praise God to help us understand, you know, the bigger things. These are tough things that the Liptex and Peraltas are going through. Maria's going through. It's not easy at all. So we're running this race and we're saying, Lord, teach me and train me in the midst of this for my own life, my own world as well. And what are you doing here? So I think he's waking us up and he's saying, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's see what the next step is for each one of us, because we have a responsibility that's very powerful. And the last thing, well, I'm going to ask if anybody from last night wanted to share anything about the prayer drive, just very briefly, anything that touched them in our drive around, just to encourage you guys to do this, because it's really good to be involved in the body of Christ and what they're doing, because we're part of that. Because we have was it the 2 weeks after that? We have fire and incense here. And so we're going to have this place open 24/7. And we're really asking our own family here to take the night watch, because that's not typically what people like to do. So if you could do that, we would like to have this place, you know, overseen, if you will, during the evening hours, the night hours, and we're going to have it. And I know Pastor Bill was, were you going to share some things? Okay. Is there anybody who wanted to say anything about the prayer drive last night? Anybody who wants to say anything about that? Carly does? Okay. And taking the kids would be amazing. You know, just get your van and take the kids and go. You know, think about 2 hours. Wow. And invite them to be involved in the process and to see things, you know, see the angels and other things that are going on.
Yeah, like P&P said, it was just really fun. I got to do it with the Ghana team last night, and then just my husband and I went again this morning. And both times, the Lord highlighted a lot of different things, from street names to road signs to business names, just so many things, which reminded me a lot of overseas mission trips when we're in a van or bus for hours, and just the same thing where we go into a time of prayer. And so being able to do that here for our county was something new for me. I've never participated in one before, and I really enjoyed it. And if you feel like, gosh, what am I going to pray about for 2 hours? As P&P said, those booklets are really helpful. They give you prayer directives over a lot of different areas, from schools to businesses to parks to just lots of things that I probably wouldn't have even thought of praying for. So it was helpful to have that as well. And then just to follow the Lord's leading. And he was definitely highlighting a lot of different things, and just really believing for that breakthrough. Excited about that leading into National Day of Prayer next week, which they are again having a Bible reading marathon. And we'd really like to fill the midnight to 8 a.m. slot. So there actually aren't that many more that we need to fill up, but the sign-up sheets for those are out in the foyer as well. Especially the Monday and Wednesday, they have a need if you're able to. So Sunday night to Monday morning and Tuesday night to Wednesday morning. Please take a look at that. The times that we need to fill specifically are highlighted, and then the week after that being fire and incense here. God's really stirring up prayer and intercession. And some of the roads we were driving on today, it was like, okay, we're on Chapel Street right now, and we just got to the intersection of Chapel and Energy, and we're on Church Road, and now there's Tabernacle. And honestly, those are all names of streets that we either crossed paths with or were driving on today. So just really fun. God's stirring up houses of prayer and stirring up intercessors in this time. So
that's really good. What's really interesting about this is that when we positioned fire and incense, we didn't realize where this was going to be in linking with everything else that's going on. So we told Pastor Wayne Maddie, hey, we're having fire and incense here another week. And it's going to be right after the prayer drive, right after the National Day of Prayer, or between that, I guess. Is that right?
After
National Day of Prayer, yeah. I did tell him right. I was like, where is this? But, you know, he's going to mention something next week, next Saturday, to the people and pass out flyers and, you know, for them to come here. And this place will be open. It'll be warm. It'll be inviting. You'll have music going here. So we just really, really ask you to do that, especially but not limited to the men. So we would really like to do that. In this county where people, there's a lot of fear in the county. We are not afraid, but we think it's very important to have this in a way that people realize that we're not. And so this place is open, so we'd really like you guys and gals to come and sign up and put that on there, not limited at all to the men and the ladies together. So that'd be great. Yes. And so Pastor Bill's going to share some things.
Some of you remember a couple of weeks ago we had a circle in the overflow room with people praying from around the county, a couple churches, a couple of leaders from Louisville. There were many churches from Canton. There were a couple from Maslin. There was one, at least, other than ours, from Jackson and several other places. We are going to do that on May 8th, again, during Fire and Incense Week. We're the site for the revival prayer time to come here on May 8th. So again, we're going to have leaders and their people come into our place during that regional time of prayer. It's actually going to be regional this time. So we're going to have those pastors that are doing that on Tuesday nights in various churches around the county. They're coming here May 8th again. So gear up for that, pray up for that, come that night to join into that special time of unity prayer across the body of Christ in Stark County. And we're going to expect that we're going to have to put circles in two rooms or work it out some way, because we had to back, if you remember that night, we had to back up that circle to the edges of the overflow room because so many people came. And so they were encouraged by that. Normally it's a much smaller group, but for whatever reason, they came here. We're blessed by that, that God drew them here. And also, we're kind of centralized, they said. So it's a thing they plan to do from time to time, come here with the prayer group. Also, that Friday of Fire and Incense Week on the 11th, we're asking teams to come in to bring worship in. So again, they'll be from different churches coming in to do worship. So you kind of see what God is doing. He's building unity so that the revival can be released. So you don't want to miss these times if at all possible. You want to show up. You want to be counted with those that have been praying revival into this county for a long, long time. August 8th through 10th in Louisville, they are three churches are planning on hosting a time where we go out on the streets and we witness in Louisville. It's kind of a spark for revival in Stark County. There have been a lot of talk about doing it in Canton and over these last few months, and it ended up that the Louisville pastors just stepped forward in unity and said, we want it to start here. And they're all excited about it. They're actually planning on using the football stadium on Sunday night for testimonies and a big worship time to celebrate all that God did on the streets that weekend. So if you can plan to kind of block that off, if you're in the area or you're not going on vacation during August 8th through 10th, then we want to hit the streets with them. We want to be on the front lines and go and hit the streets in Louisville. They're hoping that it busts out of there into other communities, and they're putting that in their plans that maybe that next week it might go into other communities. So it's starting, and you're needed on the front lines of all these different things so that God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish among the people of Stark County. It's starting. Hear my word. It's starting, and we have to be on the front lines. Also, June 1st, First Friday, down in Canton. How many know that on the main stage there's been primarily other types of groups? Now there's going to be a worship group from Trinity Gospel. Michael Kelly is going to be on the main stage, and some other worship people. We need to go down there and support that, be sprinkled through the crowd, and we'll work that all out so that we can be ready to bring in a harvest that night while they're on the stage. We'll work that all out. But I told him, in meeting with him at Starbucks this week, Frontline will be there to help you with that. Oh, really? He was just throwing out the idea. I said, we're already down there. We'll get into the crowd. We'll talk to people about Jesus. And he was very excited by that. So I'm meeting with people at Starbucks, other offices that I have, It was nice of them to build all the Starbucks and the other places for me to have offices around the county. And I can meet with leaders, and I'm doing that more and more. It's not my normal. I haven't done this that much. It's usually been this other pastor here in this place that has done that in the past. But she's on to other things, and God has put this new wave in my heart. So I've been meeting with leaders and prayer groups and all kinds of things the last few weeks, and I've been energized because I see it coming. The wave is coming. The wave is coming. It's starting. It's starting. So when it starts hitting your family, when it starts hitting your friends, you know, you should be on the front end of that wave, not the back end going, what happened? You're going to be seeing it happen. You're going to want to be part of that wave. So we'll be putting these announcements up. We'll put them in the bulletin. We'll keep you informed on what's happening. But try not to miss these great things that are starting to happen in Stark County. We bless the name of Jesus that he's releasing it just like he said he would. And we've heard about it at Azusa last summer. It's happening. It's happening. Have eyes to see and ears to hear.
One thing about the connection that I want to add is that we're finding from the meetings that I have been able to go to with Pastor Bill. He is running around a lot more, for sure. But the ones that I've been able to go to, I'm finding we're hearing that a lot of people are not on the streets. They have hearts for revival, as all of us do in this county, to whatever degree. But going out comfortably, or maybe not so comfortably at times, but going out on the streets is not their norm, and that's not been their norm in any of the churches that we've been going to. There might be a little pocket here and there, but it's not the norm. And so it was like, wow, Lord, we've been doing this for a long time. It's like no big deal. And we have to remind ourselves, not from a, well, look what we've done. I don't mean it that way. But even in the early 2000s, we were on the streets with our big buses and everything. We've been on the streets, and we haven't stopped. And that was also transferred overseas. So we've been doing that. So the Lord is using all of us in this wave coming into Stark County, but he is definitely highlighting those who have done this before. So even if we say we've been down at First Friday for 9 years or whatever it is, they just kind of look at you like, what? And do what? What's prophetic what? So it's new to people. And so we're just casually talking about this kind of stuff and saying, hey, come on down, come on out with us, come on, let's do this. So I really believe that the Lord has his strategies, and he is raising up people. And the things that you've stepped into, don't, despite those small beginnings, they're very important. And the Lord has remembered all the snowy nights going down and prophesying over the courthouse and going to the bars and going all that to those places. And the Lord loves relational connection, but he's also got a purpose for that, for the nations. So it's going to be very interesting to see how God uses Frontline in this. I was talking to Isaac Middleton this week, who called me about some things overseas, dealing with some overseas work. And so we were talking about the time he was in our family room at our house, and there was a very big meeting there. Many of you were there. And he remembered, and we were both talking about, and I remembered some of what was said. And Andy's trying to find the recording. We haven't found it yet. So if you guys remember anything about that, like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was right before God Likes Me at the Rubber Bowl, it was before that. There were 40 people from Frontline who went out on the streets, 40 of you guys. It's like, wow. And that touched a lot of people, and they still talk about it, and that's what he was bringing up. He was saying, I saw that then, God saw that then, and you guys came all the way up from here up to Akron and did that and went out on the streets as well as went in for worship. He says that was really significant. So I just wanted to let you know and bless you and to say thank you for all the efforts. Don't look back and go, yeah, but I don't feel like that now. Okay, take a look at why. Because the Lord saw that then, and he's just always wanting to build us so that, you know, we run even farther, stronger, harder, and faster. So take a look at the why behind you. Don't feel like that anymore. It's not interesting anymore. I'm not going that way more. Because the enemy doesn't like what you've done. He doesn't like what you've done many years ago. He doesn't like what you've done 4 years ago. And one thing that Isaac said that we do remember is he said there will be a huge thrust through Frontline in the area of evangelism for Stark County and a huge thrust for the area of healing as well. And Andy said he remembered him saying in the prophetic realm, he said that God's given us Canton, and meaning this area. It's like, what? So that was part of that, and that's what Andy told me this week that he remembered. So, you know, it was a prophetic word. We'll see what God does, and it's not about us getting something, but it's about the Lord stirring the fire that he already stoked years ago. And he's saying, don't let it burn out. Don't let it go a different way. Don't say, well, I'm on to other, you know, areas. I'm not interested in that anymore. Let God stir that back up, but bring it back up to him, then let him do the stirring. Amen? And the only other thing I wanted to mention here was these seven verses. Let me read them over the crowd, over the kids, so they can go to Green Light Missions and everything else. This is Psalm 67, the nations exhorted to praise God. And Brother Yoon in Pemba last summer really highlighted this, and it's in my Bible marked up, and I just wanted to read it to you guys, okay? Verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And that's a very familiar verse. About every church in America will take that verse but not tie it with the rest of it. So listen to verse 2. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. So in other words, when we're asking God, heaven come to earth, bless us, strengthen us, help us walk in the blessing, Lord, increase our finances, help us guide God with everything in our family and everything that we're doing. The purpose is that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce, God. Our God blesses us. Our God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for reestablishing our priorities, God, that our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be focused on the nations. When we're thinking about where we're going to live, what we're going to buy, what job we're going to have, all of that, underlying all of those blessings, is for the nations. And that's how this ministry started out so many years ago, and that's how we'd like to see it continue. And so with the Lord, I believe. So God bless you guys, and kids can go to Kingdom Land. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One thing that, if we wanted to turn in our Bibles to 1 John, and we can put this in the Amplified if we could, up there, 1 John chapter 2, verse, 16 and 17, 15 and 16. In the Amplified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I gotta find you. This is a familiar verse. Actually, it's like, where is everyone? It's like, boom. 1 John 2. This is a verse that is a life verse for many of us. And this life verse, I'm probably going to refer to it throughout the message. So when people come back in, we can find a focus on it again. So Angela, we'll put it back up once you get it up. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. This is a verse that was pointed out to us back in 2002. I have to double check here. August 4th, 2003, by Pastor Dan in Ghana. And some of you were here, were there, you're here now. And that's a very, very long time ago. But I remember where I was sitting. I remember him highlighting this verse. And I remember that there were very, very many young people in that room. And we were a lot younger. But very many young people, and I remember thinking, Lord, Would you please define this for us in a way that will wreck our hearts for the rest of our life? So I'll go back to it again when more people come in, but let's just look at it for now. Verse 15 and 16, love, are we up there? Yeah, and this is in the Amplified, so we'll look at the Amplified. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Before we go to 16, can we back it up? You know, that verse always really stuck out, you know, really bothered me. It's like, okay, so what does that mean? I live in the world. I know I'm not supposed to be of the world, but what does that actually mean for me? How is that going to look? How is that going to affect my choices? How is that going to affect what I do? How is that going to affect how I interpret scripture? How is that going to affect my family? How is that going to affect things that I live for? What does that mean, God? It's really a hard verse. It's a tough, tough verse. Let me read it in the King James. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, so it's like, all right, God, am I taking my life and am I explaining it away? Am I taking my life and letting it filter through that verse? You know, and say, you can't make it tough enough, you know? Or am I really understanding what your love looks like, what your love in my heart actually is, your love that has gripped me so much in the place I am in the world now, where it's so, you know, I cry very easily. Many of you know that. It's like, she's crying again. What's going on? It's like, I am so touched. The Holy Spirit is very tender in my heart. And I take this verse and I look at this from 2003, and it wasn't the first time I had ever heard it, but the first time in a company of people that I so dearly loved, still do, and so dearly care for back then and still do. Many are still here, many are not. And I think about that and I think, Lord, what have you tried to show me and to teach me in my life over all these years? What have you tried to do with that verse? What does it mean? What does it mean to not love the world? And what does it mean that your Father's heart wouldn't be, your Father's love heart wouldn't be operating in me, because two cannot exist in the same place? What does that actually look like? How do I understand that? How do I define what that looks like based on Scripture? Or do I do that by my own experience? Do I define this based on my own experience, what I think, what I like, what I live, what I choose, what I value? Is that how I interpret that? Or do I interpret that based on your word? How do I do that? What does that actually look like? And I think we're supposed to do that with all scripture, but this particular verse in 1 John, I mean, this whole chapter, this book, 1 John, will wreck you if you read it completely. But love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's like, okay, help me, Jesus, with that. So the Amplified says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. So how do you separate what we use for God, what we have for the Lord, and how do we justify what we do, what we spend our money on, how we do that? You know, someone in here recently said, I won't highlight that person, when things are tough, I sow more money into the kingdom. When things are looking like, oh my gosh, where's this going to come from? And look at the places that money is being taken from, that's not really my first choice. So what do I do? What does it look like when things seem to heat up around me? I sow more, I sow more, I sow more, so that the love of anything that money represents is not in my heart, and I don't want that. I want to move closer in closeness with you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think many of us will be very surprised when we see our mansions in heaven and see what that looks like. We can get very, very wrapped up in what prosperity looks like, knowing that we have a good, prosperous God. We can get very, very wrapped up in that and not even realize it, because we live in the West. And when we go overseas, things change in the way that we view life. And it's kind of a discombobulating thing when you go to Africa or India or other places. You know, I was so touched by the Rajamundry video, and I saw Joe Kabeji just worshiping the Lord. She didn't care about the back wall that looked terrible, you know. She didn't care that there was cement coming down the wall and, you know, anything like that. And we came in and we prettied up the walls, which we should do. And we did, and it was great, and it's helpful. Not saying that. But she didn't care. She doesn't live in any great big fancy high-rise or anything. You know, she lives in the slums, actually. And she doesn't care. So her focus is perhaps more easily brought towards Jesus because she doesn't struggle as much with some of the things that we might, because we do live in the West and we have these things to consider. And honestly, I would say this, when we talk about something like that in a place where we have a lot of physical things and we give them to our families, and we enjoy them, and we look forward to them, it's very, very easy to dismiss this verse. First, turn me off completely, because sometimes it's like hard to receive from the messenger when something is provoking, and it's like, eh, it's true. Secondly, dismissing this verse. So let's just take a look at this. Also in the NASB, I want to read it to you guys in the NASB. Let me read it. Verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, this whole book is about Christ being our advocate, and do not love the world, and do not fall into traps, and make sure that you truly love one another and understand what eternal life looks like and the value of life. You know, some have passed recently into eternity, and it's like this is our only chance to demonstrate this scripture, to demonstrate this. We don't have another opportunity. This is it. And then to bring as many souls into the kingdom as we can. And so you have Pastor Dewa in Rajamundry who's saying, and again, I exhort you to listen to it online so it's clearer for you, but to actually say that it's all about souls, and that's what I live for. That's why I'm here, to bring souls into the kingdom, which is my act of worship. And so what would the enemy want to do is water that down so we wouldn't understand that, or if we had understood that and we had a fire burning and a zeal, that it would be watered down. And it wouldn't be easily seen. It might be seen by others, but it wouldn't be easily seen by us because the enemy wouldn't want us to easily see that. So we have to take a look at that. I'm sure Sin and Lawrence are dealing with all kinds of things, and moment by moment, the value for life for Maria is probably higher than ever before. And in understanding what are the stakes right now. The stakes are Maria could end her existence here, or it could be ended here in a short time, or God grants life to continue for the sake of many of the things that we're talking about. It's like, Jesus, this is in your hands, but you're calling us to run that race and to develop muscles and to hear. I believe every picture and word and verse from the Lord that he's giving us is all part of us and our growth, and we are contending and agreeing and running with, you know, for miracles. I spent a little bit more time with Sin talking during the day for obvious reasons than Lawrence, but we do have times as well. But when we start praying out the supernatural, we start praying out, you know, the miracle power and fire of God. Oh, man, it's just like, yes, Lord, just rises up inside. It's like, that's all that matters right now. I don't really care about this or this or this or this. That's what matters. And it's just like this spiritual energy is just rising. So we might hear, well, there's a wave coming, and there's a wave being seen, and we're gonna ride the wave and all that in Stark County, which is true. It's all coming. But the Lord says, what are we doing right now? Because if our hearts are in revival right now, if our hearts are being stoked and stirred right now, we're going to take that disappointment and that fear and that anger and that ick that comes our way probably more often than even in the past for many of us. Because we're getting closer and closer to something that we've been contending for a long time. So it's really hard. It seems like it's harder in many ways. But yet, when Jesus is the prize and Jesus is our goal, then you know, the Lord, he focuses us. And he says, I'm building in you. I'm building you. I'm strengthening your muscle. You're going to lead so many who do not understand what's coming. And it's not just a glory wave. There are other things with that. But in that, we're putting out fires and saying, Jesus, go get them. Go get that house over there. Go get those people sleeping. Give them a dream and a vision. Touch them. Heal that marriage. Restore that family and all those kinds of things. Yeah, but I'm not seeing it in my own. Maybe not. But it's not the time yet. So you keep pressing in because you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I tell myself that to encourage myself because my hope is in Jesus, but I know his promises. So if we don't know his promises, a verse like this will be like, all right, so tell me what to do. Tell me what it means. Do I go overseas? Do I not? Do I take that job? Do I not? You know, it's like, no, that's not how God's talking to us. He's saying, come in really close. Get really, really close to the fire. Because when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. It's not talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the fire that's coming around us to hurt us physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It's really true. When you travel through the waters, it's like, oh, these waters are tough. They will not overcome you. Because there's another side. The Lord's taking us to the other side. Getting to that other side isn't so pretty or fun. And then we read about Paul and others in the scripture and go, whoa, look at him. Man, wish I could do that. The Lord says, I'm trying to help you get there. So I was so touched by Brother Yoon reading his book, Heavenly Man, and now having him come to this place. I'm thinking, Lord, are we preparing our hearts for something where you've taught someone more of your ways in through suffering than probably many of us have possibly experienced here, I would think. But yet he's still standing, he's still living, and he's more in love with Jesus than ever before. What is he thinking? God, what were you thinking when this happened? I really exhort you, if you've read it again. If you've not read it, get it and read it. It's really, really impressive in the spirit, the humility and the cost that he has paid, even with his family, for the sake of the gospel of the kingdom. So do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let this ring again in your heart, because let's look at verse 16 now in the Amplified. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Okay, what is that? And this is, I remember literally writing this down. I mean, some of you were with us, right? And I'm writing this down. Does anybody remember this when it was first brought out in this training time with Pastor Dan? Is there anybody here that remembers it? Darlene and Carl and Mike, and I don't know if you guys were there, Rachel. You guys remember that? Well, when we've seen him in Ghana South, we bring that up to him. I do. And I know, you know, some have said something to him. But I say, Pastor Dan, I remember that. And he just smiles. He grins. And he goes, oh, that is my life. That is my life. It's like, yeah, well, I remember. That was so powerful. That was so strong. And I was so wrecked at that time, trying to figure out exactly what you were saying for my life and looking forward all these years later in 2018. It's like, Jesus, I understand more now than I ever did back then. For all that is in the world, okay, here's a definition. Here you go. And there's more. We can look it up and spend a lot of time looking it up. But I would say, let's take it from the Amplified. You can look at it in the Passion. I don't have that for you right now. Maybe you can put it up. But look it up and dwell on it, because the Lord's giving us a little bit of understanding here. The lust of the flesh is a craving for sensual gratification. Okay, in other words, what's going to fill that void when I just really want something? Is it another person? Is it a physical act? Is it going to be a relational connection? Something that's going to stir up the senses in a way that, you know, wow, that's got to be God because I feel so much better. But Jesus really isn't necessarily in it, and it's not drawing us closer to the Lord. He's saying, I want to be first and foremost, primo. I want to be your all in all. I remember when I was up in Pemba last year, there was something, a couple of things that were said, and I was on my face for a good half hour, stuck on the floor on my face, crying, just crying my eyes out. I was just weeping before the Lord. It's like, oh my gosh, what is all this, Jesus? And it was just such love coming, just pressing right on my being, and such a deep, deep encounter with Jesus telling me and coming to me and letting me know who he thinks I am. But also anything that tries to interrupt that, just get out of there. That is my kid, who I dearly, dearly love and cherish, no matter what. One thing I want to continue on here. But, oh, this is, it's so funny. I just ran through this last night, and I saw this. And I went, I just want to read this. Last year also when I was up there, Roland Baker said this. He said, we are in a fierce war for the souls of people, the mind, the will, the emotions, for them to be able to use those conduits to receive a new being, a new heart, a new spirit. You know, 99.9% a megachurch leader was on Facebook saying, of people in our country, or at least people, maybe he meant beyond that, have a really good heart, 99.9%. And that was the premise. Those were the words. And one person got on after that, because it was just, it's like, what? What did you just say? Wait a minute, creating me a clean heart, give me a new spirit, give me a new heart. I'm a new creature in Christ. Is that what you meant? What did you mean? And I believe there was an indication, at least from the rest of the video, that the idea was, hey, we're all good people, come on. Do your best. Think positively. That was scary, really scary when I saw it. And I saw it again and again, and I went, oh my gosh, we're going to be fought in that area. We need to be new creatures in Christ. We need to. It's a fierce battle for the souls of people, but it's not just against other difficult religions, so to speak. It's within our own body. It's within the body of Christ. It's like, wow, that was scary. And then there was another thing that was. This was a video. This was not someone's writing. This was a video I was watching, going, huh? And another thing was, they're the head of a major church, a major denomination. You know, in the world, does not have his headquarters in America, was saying to a little boy who lost his father, who had died, the father was not a believer. The father was an unbeliever. But the little boy was so torn up because his daddy loved him so much and did such a good job that he wanted to ask this leader of this denomination, he wanted to ask him, he said, what did you, is my daddy in heaven? That was the question, sorry. And so he spoke into the little boy's ear, and I'm watching this. What's he going to say? And then he spoke out, and he says, we have a good father in heaven. Our good father in heaven wants us to be good people on this earth and wants us to be a good father. Do you think a good father in heaven would not allow this little boy who had a good father to, would not allow his father to be in heaven, even if he didn't know the Lord? Was the intimation, because that was the question. He was an unbeliever, clearly an unbeliever. But just because he was, God is the last word, which is true. But it was scary. It was like, what? What did you just say? I don't know what I would have said to this little boy with that question myself. I wasn't there. But the response from this world leader was frightening. And it's like, Jesus, we don't want that to be watered down in our life. We really want to understand the true gospel of the kingdom, because there is a fierce battle for souls, and we have to understand and then move in it and walk in it. So let me just read this, and I'll get back to the First John. This is from Roland Baker. We are in a fierce war for souls of people. And then he quoted, do not love the world or anything in it. We are only free when Jesus Christ is the prize. Trials come to prove our faith. Jesus Christ first, no other way. God is sovereign. We are bound to his will. In Romans 9, most people ignore it. He can change our will. If I'm going to lay down my life and bleed for him, I really want him to be God. This is understanding sovereignty. I don't want to take any credit for anything. Well, that really wrecked me, and I wrote it down, and I was, you know, writing this in my journal, as scribbling it down, and then asking Jesus, what does that mean? What does it actually mean? I don't want to walk around with anything but joy in my heart, because joy is serious business. One more thing that Rollin said is, no one has figured out how to get God to do anything. Do you know how to love Jesus Christ more? How do you disciple people to love Jesus? What we need are broken hands and a contrite heart. Broken hands and heart. Contrite hands and heart. Broken. Heaven is not on earth. We're in a fierce war for the souls of people. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. It's like, oh my gosh. As our focus. Did Jesus enjoy going to Lazarus's house with Mary and Bethany? Yeah. He's sitting and he's, did Jesus love the little children? Yes. But his joy, his true joy, came from the Father. How could Brother Yoon go through what he went through? How could he go through that without knowing the real Jesus? And what really touched me when I heard these men speak was, if I'm going to bleed for Jesus, I better really understand and believe that he is who he says he is, and there's a purpose in this, and he's calling me to do this. And he might not call any of us to suffer that way, but it's understanding another level, another layer of what suffering looks like. So let me look at the rest of this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, it's craving for that, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but they are from the world itself. I'm going to read it one more time so I get it myself. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which involves the craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. I mean, God gives us relationships and wants us to be relationally connected with him first and other people. And he wants us to have our priorities well established. And many times those relationships can get interrupted and you know, speaks to me about that, and I cry easily about those things, and I don't want that. I don't want relationships that are supposed to be God-like, Christ-like, Father-like, heavenly-like. I don't want them to be interrupted. It hurts, because it's not love then. If it's interrupted, the Lord connects us together with people of like heart and spirit to be able to help them rise up, to help us rise up. It's part of us. So that's not included here, but yet somehow the love of the Father not penetrating our heart is. So if there's healthy relational connection with people, then that's a good thing. But if there's unhealthy relational connection, the Lord says, don't be satisfied with that. Let me change that. So the relational connections will be strong and healthy and vibrant for the sake of the Lamb's reward. When we say those words, the sake of the Lamb's reward, when we say that, it's like, do I mean that? Do I really mean that? His reward is people. And so if he's stirring us up in our most holy faith, he's stirring us up in the inside, then we'll take these verses and then we'll chew on them for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? We'll chew on them and say, wow, what do you mean? Show me. Because he's not a bad papa who's against us having things. That's not even what he's saying. He's talking about the substitutes for that gratification from him alone. And I'm not so sure I understand that or walk that out in all areas of my life in many times and ways, but he's always talking to me, and he's always reminding me of the bigger picture. He's always speaking to me and saying, hey, honey, remember when you were on your face and I was loving you back to life in some areas, you know, and really helping me, I'm sure. It was just like, oh my gosh, I love you more than I ever loved you before. I can understand these verses more than I ever did before. I understood them to some degree back in 2003. But it just keeps growing, and then he keeps showing me, this is how I want to shift and change things so that the ferocity of the Holy Ghost in you will rise. So nations will be your inheritance. It's like, whoa. Well, how do we get there? How do we do that? We just have another mission trip, another training weekend, another. We keep doing what he tells us to do, but he's changing us in the process. He's changing us moment by moment, day by day. Something I just want to tie this all together in, if you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11, because I was preaching from John chapter 12 around Easter time, and then I backed it up to John 11, if you remember. And I just want to pull it up myself. John chapter 11. And I think it was last time I preached, I said, hey, guys, finish this yourselves at home. We want it for time's sake. We just want to just wrap it up here. So if you want to get the context of this from John chapter 12 and about a month ago, and then John chapter 11 after that part of it, yeah, please do so. Okay. John chapter 12 was, I think, on Palm Sunday when I was talking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, remember? And then he stopped at Mary and Martha's house, and, you know, we had this deal going on with Lazarus, and he was getting possibly hanging out there before he actually was able to go do what he needed to do 6 days before the Passover, it says in John chapter 12, verse 1. And so I went through that line by line, and there were some really amazing things that God did with that chapter that we studied and learned from and received from. And then a couple weeks after that, I went into John chapter 11, and I started talking about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus and talked about dependency on the Lord. I'm not going to go through and re-highlight that. But those two chapters have really been igniting a fire in me to help understand words like this about the world, words, comments from leaders that we think are really walking closely with Jesus and are seeing souls saved around the world and have devoted their lives to that and are willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus because he's worth it and find serious joy as being their number one priority with humility. And so with that, I was looking at the death and resurrection of Lazarus in chapter 11 and then looking at verse 47. Let's back it up to 43. Let's do this. 42. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. I knew that you always hear me. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me. This is 41, so I'm sorry. 41. Jesus raised his eyes and said to the Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. So they may believe in these words that I'm going to release for them later in 1 John. Verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And we went through some of that and spoke about that and how the Lord had that perfect timing. He knew that Lazarus had died. Jesus wept. Even Mary, not just Martha, but even Mary said, if you would have come, he wouldn't have died. But there was this closeness between Jesus and Mary that so touched his heart of love that he wept. But when Martha said that earlier, he didn't. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to touch the heart of Jesus in that way. Jesus wept out of love. I want to connect in with Jesus that way, so I understand what revival looks like and it's all about, and why I'm doing what I'm doing and living for you, Jesus, and what that's looking like to take these verses seriously in my own life, and what's it look like when I hang on to your promises, and what's it really mean when I say hope deferred makes a heart sick, and I don't want a sick heart, or anybody that I know and love have sick hearts, when hope in you, Jesus, is deferred. It's not just hope in getting something that you want, okay? It's hope in believing that Jesus has that for you, which there might be a prolonged time in our economy when Jesus says, that's nothing for me. How did Brother Yoon feel when he was in prison for 10 years, on and off? Was that too long? Was that long for his wife and kids? What was that like? When he started to, when the beatings got so severe that he's dying, what is that like? How does he deal with that? How does he stay strong? Why didn't he just quit? Why didn't he give up? What power was there to enable that man as a mere human being to be able to do that? What kind of relationship and connection did he have with Jesus Christ that was forged in the place of a fiery affliction that went on and on? What kind of connection did he have for Jesus that would not let go no matter what? That he couldn't even imagine saying, no, not Jesus, no. Maybe he thought it and felt it, and maybe he voiced it here and there. But as a lifestyle, no way, no way. And when he knew that maybe he had veered a little bit, the Lord just pulled him back. But he listened to others. He listened also, and the Lord was so close to him. And I'm thinking, man, when I was talking about that a couple weeks ago with Mary and Martha, that really hit me, that Jesus wept right after Mary said that. Mary, the one that got it, the one that just like won Jesus' heart, because she knew of a better way to live. She knew that it was about him. She knew that everything had to do with him, even revolving around the death of her own brother, even if she said something that wasn't the best. That's how she felt, but Jesus wept because it was like, didn't you know that I would never, ever, ever breach love? I would never go against love. You don't know that the most loving thing that I will do, I'm still going to do for your brother. I didn't forget that because I asked Papa, and he is love, and I'm love incarnate here, but he is love first and foremost, and I have that connection. So I'm going to say these things, Papa, so that they believe, that they get it, so that they understand. I know you hear me. I know you hear me. So I'm going to ask you again so that they know that I have a connection with you, okay? They know. And that's what he's saying to us. He says, keep going, keep going, keep going. Go on the prayer drive. Be with Jesus in your prayer closet. Do these things, whatever it takes. You see? It's like, do it. Our prayers are so powerful. I'm telling you. My God. As silly as it sounds, you know, we were talking about, you know, seeing some prophetic things last night, and I saw something that wasn't silly. I forget what it was now, but it was a prophetic sign. But Pastor Bill, and he said, well, we're in Jackson. And we just kind of laughed, like, yeah, we're in Jackson Township now. It's like, Lord, what does that mean? But Brenda, she's in the van with us. And she goes, Jackson, wow, a former pastor from years ago has a son who was just in a car accident. Motorcycle accident. Let's pray for him right now. It's like, what is that? The Lord's saying, if you will ask me, I'll give you the nations. If you will stay close, I'll show you what it's like to suffer. I'll show you what it's like to take a look at this. I'll show you what it's like to be able to say no to your kids or no to something else for the sake of something that has another value. It's a higher value. It's not that we don't love our families or kids. I do. I'm not saying that, please. I'm saying there are things that the Lord says, teach them by saying no. Teach them by letting them understand this. Teach them and train them. When you meet Brother Yoon's son, he's in his mid-30s. He's really cool. I was so wrecked by him. He speaks really good English, and I assume he's coming. They indicated that. But you'll just love him. He's so humble. And how his life started out without a father. Oh, my gosh. Read the book for that. If you want to talk about family unity, You want to talk about restorative work and living for Jesus when it costs you something. That will wreck you if you read that. Amazing. He really touched my life. But anyway, when Jesus wept, which God must want to say that again. When Jesus wept in the scripture here, let me find out where we are. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus said in verse 44, "Unbind him and let him go," he already had called Lazarus forth at the perfect time. He knew when it was. It wasn't made up. It was God's time. It was exactly what he was supposed to do. And he did it with a full heart. Unbind him and let him go. And he said, get those grave clothes off. It's time to live out the resurrection life. Now I want to show you what happened after that, and then we're going to wrap it up here. Verse 45, "Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed him." So there's a therefore, one of the famous words that we always like to say, yeah, therefore, as a result. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he, Jesus, had done, believed in him. Okay, so they saw the miracle. They believed him. But look what happened in 46. Now think of your own life in terms of this, all right? Think of the times when you came to Christ. Think of the time when you came to Christ and you were in this. Some people call it a honeymoon period. You know, it's like, this is really fun. I found Jesus in college or at a retreat that we had. You know, we had these awesome retreats here for so many years and maybe moving in that direction again. God's saying, I want to do what's going to stoke you and get you back to your first love and then surpass that. If he's not who he was in those beginning years, when it was just like, oh my gosh, I'm doing cartwheels, I'm doing backflips, I'm just, ha ha, I'm laughing in the spirit, I'm just so enjoying Jesus. He's just overwhelming me with how great he is. I worship you, I love you, I praise you, I'll do anything for you. I'll scale a wall, I'll go to a nation, I'll do anything for you to bless you and bless others. It's okay, I can try it. And the Lord says, yeah, but you're a baby. I know. But more is coming, so don't forget that when you were a baby, this is how much I loved you to life. Don't forget that. I mean, so God's saying, take those grave clothes off, be unbound in this season so we can go and we can run with the resurrection power of what God has done and built into us for so many years. And say, Lord, if I don't feel that way, then show me why. Show me why. Show me why. And then take a step and do something about it. So therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary saw what he had done, believed in him. Verse 46, here's the opposites that I had been preaching about 2 weeks before. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. So it was either, I get this, oh my gosh, I was really touched, or I better go to the Pharisees. Because they're going to stroke me, because they're going to be really glad, these important people, when I go tell them what I found out and what I saw. Because I don't really get it. It didn't do anything to me in here. What was more important was what the Pharisees would think of me. That's the type of relational connection, the unhealthy relational connection that fits into the world. And the Lord says, I want to get rid of that. I want to change that. So Jesus really is first. So the conspiracy to kill Jesus, 47 now through 57. These 10 verses are quite interesting. And then we kind of roll into chapter 12, which we're not going to go into 12. But these 10 verses are really interesting because it's a heightening of the conspiracy to kill Jesus. So what preceded that? Directly, Lazarus, God's way, God's time. Looking at Mary, looking at Martha, looking at the people. I mean, we could do a movie on this alone, on what God is saying, humanity, right in your face. This is what humanity looks like. Because death is final, right? In terms of, someone not seeing that person again until heaven, hopefully. So verse 47, therefore the chief priest, another therefore. Okay, this had to happen. There had to be Lazarus coming forth, Jesus saying, unbind him, let him go, and now the first therefore. another therefore comes after that, which is really interesting to me. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary saw, believed. Boom. 46. But some of them went to the Pharisees, told them the things which Jesus had done. Think of our lives. Think of the interruption. Think of what Jesus wanted the people to get with Lazarus' resurrection. What did he want? Why did he do it that way? What was he trying to offer everyone? Even Jesus said, Father, I know you hear me. I just am saying these things because I know you want them to believe. I want them to believe. So the ultimate test for them at that moment, will you be part of the conspiracy to water down and even get rid of and kill Jesus? Kill the fire, kill the revival, kill what Jesus had really started in your life or life in your family or life here or whatever. Where do you stand? What will you carry? Think of this. What do you carry within your own heart, your own realm? What do I carry? What do we carry? We have choices, and it's black and white. It's not. It's one or the other. Either this is led by the Lord, whatever that is, or it's not. It's very black and white. There's very opposite tendencies here in this passage of Scripture. So, verse 47, therefore, as a result of these two opposites, the chief priests and Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. Remember, it's exposing the satanic plot. But the Lord's saying, what part do we play in connecting with the plans of the enemy? What part? What part will we refuse to participate in because it's a blind spot in our life and it's uncomfortable and we just say no? When Jesus is saying, this is the time. Well, I don't feel like it's a time. Well, it might be because this is uncomfortable and I'm trying to expose that so that it is the time and it will release us into something that will benefit not just ourselves but others, because the sake of the cross is a big one. It's like, we have to take these scriptures and just bring it right down to our own life, don't we? And what makes sense for me right now? We're not going to be leading nations if we can't keep getting freer and allow that fiery inferno to be stoked, and that we're really linking arms that way in a greater way, the greater capacity. If the Lord says it's time for healing and restoration and conviction of heart or whatever, and we have ways from the Lord and we just say, no, it's too uncomfortable, no, I don't have time, I don't want to go there, I don't know, I'll just pray about it or whatever. God says, listen, I went and raised Lazarus at the right time. And I went against what you might do, Jesus, at first, because, you know, you're like, oh, that's my best friend. But Jesus wasn't mad and he didn't sin, so he said yes to the Father and yes to the timing, right? Because everything the Father said mattered to him. All that mattered to Jesus was what the Father said. It's not enough just to say, I want to do what I see my Father doing. I want to sing what I hear my Father singing. I want to walk. And we sing that, it's not enough anymore. And the season that we're in, I don't believe, to not take that so seriously that we are willing to make changes in our own life very clear from the Lord, because he's trying to grab our attention. And he's saying, this is what I'm going to demand, in a good way, demand of a person who's going to be able to carry this kind of undying love that we're hearing about. I just really believe that. And it's, wow, it's a lot. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we have to help people get there and not just pat them on the back and say, oh, okay, that's fine. Sometimes we have to help that along. Sometimes we don't, but sometimes we do, so that we're not part of the problem. So to wrap it up here, it says, therefore the priests and Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. What are we doing? If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Can you just put, instead of putting the Amplified, hun, do you mind putting just NASB up there? That would be great. Do you know how to do that? Thank you. That'd be good. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Okay. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all." So the high priest comes in, says, "You don't know anything. So you think this, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And then Caiaphas says, "You know nothing." 50, "Nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish." Caiaphas says this? What? Verse 51, "Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation." "52, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad." 53, "So from that day on, they planned together to kill him." Okay, so we have to be really clear. Let's be really clear on what's going on here. Don't just think one thing. Let's get the bigger picture that this is going to affect in a bigger way everything. So we really do have to get rid of him, is the conclusion from the scribes and Pharisees. We really need to do that. "So from that day on, they planned together to kill him." Verse 53, "From that day on, they planned together to kill him." Planned together to kill him. Planned together to kill him. So the strategy of the enemy, first is to isolate us from our first love in any way that he can, and then connect us with another substitute for first love, whatever that would be. And then we plan together. And then Jesus loses that first place. And within Christianity, for people who are born again and really love Jesus, that's what Jesus will do. Or that's what the enemy will do. He has to. We're going to go to David's tent this week, you know, a handful of us, and we're going to worship Jesus over the weekend and lead worship on Friday night and Saturday night. And it's just going to, "Jesus, we love you. We worship you." Can you imagine that? For Ohio, for the state of Ohio, we're doing that. Didn't worry about all the details. We didn't look at the schedule, obviously, to know when to do it, but figured everything out later just to have the privilege of doing that in our nation. In our nation. Thank you, Jesus. For Ohio, this is our week. 54, therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Why did he do that? What did he know was coming? Was he afraid? No. He had a purpose. He had a plan. He knew. He knew that he had to die in the right time, and he knew that what he did was part of that. He needed to listen to the Father for all the Father's lessons for him. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. The Spirit of God in us. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Wow. 55. The Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" They're looking for him. They don't know where he is. Verse 57, now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so they might seize him. So they didn't know where he was, but they had decided, and Jesus already knew it, that was going to happen. The intimacy that Jesus had with his Father always amazes me when I read about his life. And I think, Jesus, I want that. I want that kind of intimacy with you. I want my intimacy with you to grow. I want to be able to engage in the Spirit in deeper ways. And he says, you can, you will, you are, keep going. But don't look at the circumstances as much as you do. Don't think about the other things that are going on as much as you do. Be concerned about love. Be concerned about what the bigger picture is, that I'm I'm formulating together. I love the fact that these arms are linked together. Honestly, to seize, capture, kill, the conspiracy is finished for Jesus. It had to be that way. It had to be a plot, and it had to be big, and it had to be effective, and it had to take more than one person, or two people, or three people. They plotted together. The conspiracy from the enemy always involves an interweaving, an interwovenness. Will always involve something that will trigger more to be drawn, more people, more spirits to be drawn to something negative, so that we cannot see what a breach of love would be. Honestly, if we get people together and we're not thinking exactly as Jesus says, as the Father says, if we're not understanding that, we're not believing that, then we can end up having things going on in our own hearts we don't even know. We can, let's say we talk about offense in here. If we had offense in our heart, we might not even know it because we're around other people that make us feel really good. But if somebody who we have offense toward is near us, we might feel a bristle, or better yet, we might feel just a lack of care and love, and it'll be kind of flippant with that person. But so the Lord's saying, there's not free love there because you're not looking at that person through the eyes of me. At that moment, it's like, Lord, show me. So I would say that as we close here, that I'm encouraging each one of us to continue to take a look at every opportunity for the Lord to increase the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And definitely coming against anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, so that we would be led to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And when we're doing that in a prayer drive or here, we're increasing intimacy with Jesus, because that's how he's fortifying us and our muscles are getting stronger. So Father, I just thank you for this word of encouragement for each one of us, to show us how Jesus lived, to show us how what love looks like, to encourage us to run the race in a way that will absolutely glorify you first and foremost, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, that everything that we do will flow out of that deep intimacy. And if it doesn't, we'll cut it off and we'll reverse it. We'll stop it. We'll say no. We'll say not now anymore. I've changed. Lord, I thank you that you help us see the motivation of what we do, so that we don't look at something and say, well, it's just a good thing and I'm doing it. Lord, that we'll recognize you behind all things that we're doing, everything, and that we do it in a way that will endear us in ways that are deeper in the area of intimacy, that we can run with that kind of joy. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping us understand what obedience looks like. Obedience just means following what you're saying and doing and giving us the roadmap to get there. Thank you, Lord, that you're touching our wills today. You're touching our minds today. You're touching our hearts and our emotions today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to properly evaluate what you're saying to us for our own hearts, to grow in closeness to you that is beyond what we've ever had. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father. We celebrate you today, and we celebrate, Jesus, what you have done already in our midst, and we look forward to all these things, God. Help us to train up the ones that we're responsible to do that for. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to be the influence that you've called us to be. But we can't be if we don't take a look at our own selves through the eyes of your love. Thank you for Mary and Martha showing us, Lord, ways to live that are better. Thank you, Lord. Help us to see the better. Help us to understand, Jesus, how much you love us so much that you, being the most prized commodity or possession, if that's the right terminology, of your Father, that you were sent here to live and breathe who he is to us and die and raise again so we could live that resurrection life. Thank you for the miraculous in our life. Thank you, Lord, for touching Maria. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Help us, God, run with fervor everything that you're laying out for us, God. Thank you for a shot in the arm today, God, to encourage us of the deep love that you have, that it's black and white, God. You love us with an everlasting love, and anything less than that needs to change. Anything that's unhealthy needs to end. Anything that's not right needs to be cut off. Anything that's not from your hand needs to be eradicated. Sickness, disease, and choices. Everything, God. Thank you that we live our life for you. We choose that today through the power of your word, through your presence filling us up. As we shouted Jesus this morning, let us run that race in these passages of scripture, God, that will totally wreck us and change us in new ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the increase today. Thank you for the increase in the prophetic declaration of what you're doing in our personal lives and our corporate lives, our family life, our church life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing us how we can make a difference in those who've been captured by the enemy. Thank you, Father, that we care so much that we'll weep for them and then take action. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. We love you so much, Jesus. It's in your name that we offer this, and we thank you for just drawing us in closer to your bosom. Love you so much, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys. Be encouraged. This is these passages up here were tough in 2003, and they're really meant, they're love passages. They're just really meant to challenge our hearts that we could get closer to Jesus. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. Amen. I think we're having a short